Today, we're looking reality dead in the eye, and no one sees the world the way it is like our next storyteller. A while ago, Shannon Kaysen told an iconic Snap Judgment Live story about stealing $50,000 from a bank to feed his gambling addiction. He's since come clean and paid back the money, which is amazing, but some mistakes, they're hard to walk away from. Snap Judgment.
After all that happened, you can imagine I had to get out of the banking profession. It's been hard to get a job. It's been hard getting beyond that infamous box on most employment applications next to the question, have you ever been convicted? I mean, I graduated from Michigan State University. I have my MBA too. Well, honestly, I'm a few classes short of my MBA, but I'm paying the student loans, so I could just say I have it, right? It's still a challenge to find corporate gigs after making a mistake like that. Because of this and other circumstances, I had to move back to my hometown. Okay, follow me here. We turned our living room into a bedroom and turned our dining room into a living room because we never used the dining room anyway. Now when people came in the front door, we have to block them from where they were naturally turned to go into the living room and lead them towards the dining room instead. Eventually, we put up a curtain as a barrier. I was sitting on the bed in the living room, which is now our bedroom, when someone knocked at the door. I pulled the curtain closed because Cindy was lying on top of the blanket naked. Cindy is beautiful, and she's always naked. My landlord was at the door, Alex. I was behind 2 months and he told me he would be swinging by after work to make me feel bad about it. I walked him into his apartment. My man, Alex, honestly, it's like this. I was headed towards the dining room, but he went straight behind the curtain into the living room. No hesitation. Cindy screamed. Alex came back from behind the curtain red and stayed red while I told him I was looking for work and needed extra time. He was too embarrassed and red to make me feel bad about it. He just agreed and left. I went back in the living room to sit on the bed. Cindy kicked me in the back with her foot.
Why didn't you block him from coming in the living room?
Shut up. I think you may have just bought us another month, though. Seven months. No rent. The reason I was falling behind is because I was falling into my creative pursuits more than falling into looking for jobs. In 2013, I performed at over 20 events in theaters all across the country, telling stories to audiences, never less than 1,000 in attendance.
He's that kind of brother. Please put your hands together for Mr. Shannon Kaysen.
I fell in love with standing behind a microphone and receiving cheers from audiences who could relate to my personal story. Being understood is addicting. However, the horrible bosses at the crappy jobs I worked at never fell in love with me asking for days off to attend these events. It resulted in me being fired numerous times. Either go to the Nokia Theater in Los Angeles and share an honest story about gambling addiction that could possibly help someone who listens, or do some crappy, mindless crap at a crappy place. My decision was clear. And most times I'd find another crappy job after the events. This time I wasn't finding another crappy job so easily. The red had faded from Alex's face after 7 months, and I told him we'd get out of his apartment so he could replenish his play money account with new renters. Cindy said,
where are we going to move to, Shannon?
I told her, well, we're always welcome at the birthplace of a comeback. A place where no one will judge us for our failures. You have to realize that when circumstances happen, those circumstances are only raw materials for a better story to tell, a fuller legacy to leave. You don't hear the stories of men and women who have done everything right in their life to wind up in a good career with a house in the suburbs and a 3-flat rental in Chicago and 2.5 kids and a spouse. Our story has challenges, failure, abuse, addiction, setbacks. In the beginning, middle, the only way it can end is victory. Think about it. I waited for her to think about it. Cindy said,
"You still didn't say where we were moving."
I said, "Detroit."
"Oh, hell no."
We didn't immediately have a $1 home to move into in a blighted area of Detroit, so we stayed with my sister until we could save some money for a place. My sister's house is my grandmother's house. My grandmother left my sister the house. My sister decorated as if she was decorating the house for my grandmother's return. My grandmother is dead. My sister is becoming my grandmother. Floral prints, fake plants, the color peach, and bumper stickers with Bible scriptures on every wall in the house. When we came in the door, I saw a bumper sticker at the entrance from Proverbs. "Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways submit to Him, and He will make your path straight." I walked in the living room and hugged my sister and saw a sticker. Psalms 46:1. "God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble." I dropped our bags in the extra bedroom and over the bed. Matthew 11:28. "Come to me, all you who are wearied and burdened, and I will give you rest." Later in that full-size bed in the extra bedroom at my sister and grandma's house, Cindy said,
"I can't stay at your sister's house, Shannon."
I said, "We won't be here long. They're selling houses for a dollar out here, trust me."
"How long?"
"I'd say a few weeks, no longer than a month."
"I cannot do a month."
"Only a few weeks then. I just gotta find work real quick. Get me in an interview, I kill it. You know me. Just get me face to face, I kill face to face." "Oh shoot, look at this. I just got an email from Microsoft. They want one of my stories for an advertisement. That kind of stuff pays good, trust me."
"Your sister asked me if I washed my hands while I was cooking. I can't stay here, Shannon."
"Just a few weeks, seriously. Microsoft, big money. A few weeks at most." The Microsoft commercial never happened. But about 2 months later, I got a job in the suburbs. The new job was in the suburb of Livonia, outside of Detroit. After my first month, I got my business cards. They said Shannon Kaysen, account executive. I love Midwest hip-hop production. That started with some Kanye and ended with some Dilla, Detroit hip-hop. But every conversation about Detroit always gets around to the same question. Is it really that bad? The question doesn't bother me as much anymore, but it used to. But I always say, like when people ask me about Detroit, I'm like, nah, not at all. It's not that bad. Go, visit. Stop living in fear. Detroit is cool. Think about it. How many public radio listeners do you hear about involved in crime in any city? Detroit, Chicago, Oakland, Baltimore. Go, hang out, drink craft beer, good coffee. See for yourself, it's not that bad. Trust me.
Let us welcome, please, the without question and not an arguable point, best dressed of all of Chicago's storytelling community. And when I asked him for three words that described him, he said, "Simple, regular, grown up." Ladies and gentlemen, Shannon Kasin. Give him a hand.
Thank you. I've traveled from Midway to LaGuardia to see my daughter, Madison, who's 3 years old and lives in Jersey City, New Jersey. The M60 lets me out in Harlem. The people aren't tourists here. It's loud, it's fast, and overwhelming. It's languages, teenagers, and strollers. Guys yelling something in Spanish. He stuffs a flyer in my hand. It says, "We buy gold."
I don't look like a tourist. I have no suitcase. My only camera is on my phone. I don't have a hotel room. The subway to Times Square is quiet. I look at the covers of people's books. James Patterson, Lee Child, Nicholas Sparks. I like to write. I imagine how my name would look in four letters on a paperback. Times Square is a nuisance, but it's a good starting landmark. My daughter left when she was 3 months old. The mediator helped set dates for visitation. This weekend, I'll visit her between 9 a.m. and noon, Saturday and Sunday. Today is Friday, early evening.
Nightlife in the city is like a jukebox. It's bright and it can play any way I like. There's a club on the Lower East Side that plays good hip hop, stays open at 4 a.m. I still don't have a hotel room. I buy a bottle of vodka and get a cup from Subway so I can drink while I walk. The club also has very expensive drinks, so I plan to be drunk beforehand. People are pressed up against each other like a music video, all dancing to a Biggie song. I'm drunk, so mission accomplished. I lost my chewing gum in some girl's cleavage as I was yelling in her ear above the music. The people are beautiful. This one girl is in really great shape. I walk Jennifer the Houston Ave, and I can't tell if I'm holding her or she's holding me. I try to hail her a cab, but it's New York, it's 4 a.m., I'm a black man, so I let her get one on her own. I kiss her like I care about her, and I just now notice her strong arm muscles. She says she's a gym rat, and that I should call before I come next time. I fiddle in my pockets and give her $20 for the cab ride home. Guys sweeping trash in the dark. A teenager smacks a street sign. Two guys are talking outside of the 24-hour McDonald's. The security guard in the McDonald's tells me that I can't rest my head on the table. The coffee tastes so good, walking in the morning gray to the New Jersey PATH train. Can't wait to see my little girl. Last time I visited, me and my daughter had a great time. We rolled around on the carpet and acted like different animals. I can't remember if my daughter's great-grandmother's buzzer is E13 or E15. I get buzzed in and I talk to Miss Gilliard until my daughter shows up at 9:20. She's acting shy, as if she doesn't know me. I'm smiling and dying, standing around all these toys I bought at the 24-hour Duane Reade. I'm coloring a picture of Boots the Monkey, yellow. And my daughter comes over and reminds me that everything is hers, including me. We're playing in the carpet and I'm acting like animals and I start to cry. I try to hold it, but all my suitcases unpacked right there on the carpet acting like an alligator. Everyone is looking at me. My daughter says the most beautiful word. She says, Daddy. Daddy. Why are you crying, Daddy? That afternoon, I'm walking around Soho, wondering what I'll do till Sunday morning. Thank you. I'm sorry.
That segment was produced by Shannon Kaysen and Robert Anderson from WBEZ, with additional production by Justin Bull, Joe DeSoul, Sean Alley, Ray Teresi, and Corinne Hayford.